We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, some wild rumors starting to happen now with the Chargers, who pick at number 5 in the draft. And I know you are in the camp, Fesco, that Harbaugh is lauding so much praise on J.J. McCarthy that he needs to put his money where his mouth is and draft him at number 5.
I mean, why not? I mean, if I hear this guy talk up J.J. McCarthy one more time, I may throw up. I mean, that's all he does is talk about how great J.J. McCarthy is.
Right.
You've got the opportunity now to do the right thing and draft J.J. McCarthy.
I mean, if he's that good, you probably should.
Why would you pass on somebody that you believe is this good, right?
Right. I think it'd be great. Because I prefer Justin Herbert.
You do. Yes. I think we all do.
So if they want to go with J.J. McCarthy, I think that would be awesome.
Right.
Now, that would take some work to do this. But there's some scenarios being floated about.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman by the name of Jesse Root of CardsWire recently shared his mock draft. Everybody's got a mock draft, right?
Everybody does, yes.
But he projected one that is interesting, that the Chargers would trade Justin Herbert to the Vikings in exchange for the number 11 pick plus a 2025 first rounder.
Okay.
Okay. And that would leave them still with the 5 pick. And they could take J.J. McCarthy at 5.
Right.
Okay.
And that's what you should do.
So they would have 5 and 11.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then they could.
Which is a record where they're probably going to be.
Plus 1.
No, 5 and 11, 5. Oh yeah, 16.
Yeah, we're at 17.
Yeah, that's right.
It was good. I liked where you were heading, mm-hmm. where your mind was going. So, the Vikings, it'd be a great trade for the Vikings. They got Justin Herbert. I got to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like for the Vikings, it'd be awesome. Get Herbert also out of the AFC.
Right.
He gets a fresh start.
Mm-hmm. Go.
See you later. Right. And then, obviously, Harbaugh does have to put his money where his mouth is.
Right.
Some of this Viking smoke, though, has been validated by it's hard to say. CTESPN Network.
That's right. Antonio Brown's.
Which is Antonio Brown's account.
CTESPN.
Correct.
Right.
CTESPN. Okay. Yes. So this is his breaking. I'm not joking. It's Antonio Brown's breaking news account.
Right. And okay. If you go to this account, which you shouldn't follow, it has 96,000 followers on it right now. Yep. And it's only been tweeting since January.
Yep. Source breaking news. Hashtag CTESPN.
Right.
Justin Herbert news. You heard it here first, and this is real.
Mm-hmm.
And he posts a picture of a screenshot of a text.
Right.
Apparently you should see it. It says AB, comma. Following up on my last text, my source in Minneapolis is saying there's some trouble with Herbert's physical based around his open reduction surgery on his right index finger. My source says there are still some questions about his readiness for OTAs, but if this gets confirmed as resolved, the projected trade package includes both Minnesota's first-round picks this year, Christian Darrisaw, an offensive lineman, and a conditional second-round 2025 pick.
Mm-hmm.
So he's even upping the ante to this one.
Right.
And Antonio Brown is on board. CTESPN is on board with the the Chargers and Vikings making a deal to send Justin Herbert to the Vikings.
Right, exactly, which I think would be a really good trade. Now, they're saying because of the finger and whatnot that it may not, you know, it may not happen. There are some weasel words in order to get out of this. But I think this absolutely should happen. Again, if Jim Harbaugh is going to continue to talk about J.J. McCarthy, then he has no choice but to draft J.J. McCarthy. Either he drafts J.J. McCarthy and trades Justin Herbert, or he was just lying to everybody about J.J. McCarthy trying to get his guy drafted.
I have another
drafted.
Scenario.
Okay,
go ahead.
All right, go ahead. What's your other scenario? Because that's it for me. If you think this guy is that good, you're either going to trade Justin Herbert and draft him, or you're just blowing smoke to try to get somebody else to take your guy because you know he's not any good, so you're trying to sell somebody something that's a piece of crap.
Or they get to five, and J.J. McCarthy's still there, and the Chargers take all kinds of calls because Harbaugh's ready to deal.
Yeah, can we
get, someone's trading to five to get J.J. McCarthy.
To get J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, can we get both of Minnesota's first-round picks?
Yeah,
because Minnesota's trying to move.
Yeah, they definitely are. There's no secret.
So the Vikings are trying to move. So I think there could be a Vikings trade, but not to get Herbert, but to get up to get McCarthy.
To get J.J. McCarthy. See, I personally, if I'm the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm handing you my chosen quarterback. I already got one, but he'd be great for you.
But wouldn't you, if you're the Vikings, though, say, no, that's not what we want. We want Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert is a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy.
For sure.
Ipso facto, if I'm Minnesota, that's your franchise quarterback to pair with Justin Jefferson going forward. And probably if you get Justin Herbert, let's say, Justin Jefferson's going, all right, that's cool. You draft J.J. McCarthy, Justin Jefferson's still going. First of all,
see if this kid's
I got
good.
Another guy that's J.J. Second, right? You got two J.J.'s now in the building. You can't have that. And then you got to figure out whether or not this guy is good. And Justin Jefferson probably, like most of us with a rookie quarterback, probably going, you really think this guy's any good? He's going to have to go out there and prove him. And then if he doesn't go out there and prove himself, Justin Jefferson's going to be yelling and screaming. And by the trade deadline, it'll be time to trade Justin Jefferson and your whole franchise falls apart. So I think in order to keep the Minnesota Vikings from contracting, they need to go out and get Justin Herbert from the San Diego Chargers and then let Jim Harbaugh draft J.J. McCarthy, because where is J.J. McCarthy going to have the most success in the NFL? He's going to have it playing for a coach in which he won a national championship for, right? I mean, let's connect the dots here. If that guy wants to have success in the NFL, he would be begging Jim Harbaugh to draft him. You know the system. You know the coach. You know what to expect. And quite honestly, and I'm being 1,000% serious about this right now, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I kind of want a quarterback that knows what I'm doing. I don't have to teach this guy, right? I don't have to learn this guy the system. J.J. McCarthy can come in and really be a conduit from the coach to the rest of the guys and really, I think, move your organization forward faster than having Justin Herbert because this guy knows the system.
Fourth coordinator,
maybe. I don't know. He's had a lot of guys in his ear since he got there, right? Since he got there. It's definitely his third head coach.
If you were him, wouldn't you be like, oh my gosh, I've heard all this before, and just let me play? You know, I could see where you would want to move from that. I think they'd be making a mistake, and it'd be great. And I'd be all for it.
Right. And that's why I said all along, I think that scenario makes the most sense, because if I'm a coach coming in, and there's not many that come in from college anymore, but you're the national championship head coach, you taking over a moribund franchise, the quarterback is a below 500, blew a huge playoff game, has an injured finger, why don't I just want to start over and start fresh? And there's a good chance, like, go back and look, did Harbaugh even recruit Justin Herbert? Right? I don't know the answer to that question. Let's say he didn't. Maybe he just doesn't like Justin Herbert. Maybe it's not his guy. So if you want to set your head coach up for the most possible success, you got to give him a quarterback that he believes in. Look what happened when Andy Reid took over. I said, I'd like to see what Matt Castle can do with Andy Reid. Andy Reid's like, that ain't happening. Okay, we're going to get Alex Smith. Okay, and we're going to play with Alex Smith for a few years until we find our guy. Jim Harbaugh may be ahead of the curve and go, my guy's right there. My guy played for me for the last 4 years. I want my guy. So I don't really care the potential. Like, Justin Herbert has had so much potential, but what has he ever done?
Good. He goes to Minnesota and they think they can win the division, and I don't tell them they can't.
Right. So. But Detroit will have something to say for it. Chicago will have something to say for it. All of a sudden, that division gets
really good. So, if I'm a Viking fan, I'm like, go make that deal. I feel like I'm in.
And right now, Minnesota, quite honestly, once the Bears get Caleb Williams, then you have, you know, Goff in Detroit. You've got Jordan Love in Green Bay. Minnesota's going around going, Sam Darnold? That's our guy?
No.
You expect us to compete with those three quarterbacks?
Justin Herbert's your guy.
You got to go get Justin Herbert, and the Chargers have to draft J.J. McCarthy.
Okay. Hey, hey, Raider fan, thanks for firing up our quarterback. We'll explain next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Ooh, baby, I love your way. Every day, yeah, yeah.
We'll talk to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, coming up an hour from now. Royals drop 2 of 3 to Baltimore. Toronto in town next for a four-gamer beginning tonight. 6:40, first pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. Vern gets started at 5:30. We'll talk to Vern again coming up at 8:30. Show brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RainerKC.com. Don't poke the bear is always good advice.
Yeah.
Although there was a story over the weekend, I saw this, that there were people taking bears out of trees and taking pictures of them.
Excuse me. They were taking them out of trees.
Yeah, it was like little baby cubs, and they were taking them. One of those stories you're like, I don't need more about idiots. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they luckily weren't mauled by mama bear.
Exactly.
But where
was this taking place?
Posing for pictures at some, I don't.
Was it in the United States?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I didn't get that far into the story, but
I'd like to know where these people are located.
I'm sure it was like New York Post or something.
Yeah.
That people were taking pictures of cub bears.
How stupid could you be? Because you know mama's lurking, right?
Yeah.
And she's gonna come after you.
And you deserve it.
And bears, like little bears, like is bears plural? Like bear? Do you say bear? Baby bears?
Bear eye?
Bear eye or berries? Maybe it's berries. Is that how you? Maybe that's the plural of bears. Berries.
I think it's just bears.
Is it just bears?
Yeah,
so you're gonna mess with that little baby bear? It looks all cute and cuddly. I hope that thing bites your face off.
Yeah, yeah,
really, I do. I
so
hope
again,
you
that's
get...
that's why they say don't poke the bear.
Right.
This is where I'm. Yeah.
Do not poke the bear.
Logic. And Raider fans have poked the bear.
They have, and I don't understand why you do
it
this.
It sucks because the Mahomeses. Same thing.
Yeah.
We're on vacation, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
They were in Cabo.
Right.
Having dinner.
Enjoying themselves.
Right.
Just trying to have a nice plate of scallops.
Just get away. TMZ. Update video.
Of course they did.
Of Raider fans yelling at Patrick Mahomes. So.
So they're all yelling Raiders at Patrick Mahomes as him and Brittany leave the restaurant.
You're going to get housed.
Yeah, you're done.
I hate to say it. That's not smart.
No.
This
is why, though, I picked the Raiders to be second best in the division, because they've got, like, no hubris at all. Like, they don't care. They're not fazed by the Chiefs. The team isn't fazed by the Chiefs. The fans aren't fazed by the Chiefs. But Patrick Mahomes just made a mental note. You could see him walking out of that restaurant, and that walk that you saw by Patrick Mahomes wasn't a leisurely stroll, Josh, out of that restaurant. That was a hurried stroll to get back to the hotel to get into his playbook.
Yeah, that's right. He was watching game film.
Yeah, he went right back to the hotel and told Brittany, sorry, night's over. I'm watching film.
I'm breaking down their secondary now.
Now. And so Patrick Mahomes is ready to go. Yep. 35-0 game one, 38-3 game two.
Not
mark
smart.
My words.
Not smart.
No, you poked the bear on that one. You don't think he's not going to remember leaving that nice restaurant in Cabo where he maybe just had a nice shrimp cocktail and a Coors Light, and he's walking out, and all of these people at the bar are taunting him, chanting Raiders. Mm. Didn't somebody do that a couple of years ago at the golf tournament?
Yes.
Right? And somebody did that. What did he do to the Raiders?
Yes.
He kicked their ass.
Yep.
Fans aren't going to learn ever that you don't taunt Patrick Mahomes. If you don't want Patrick Mahomes to beat you down, go up there and just say, hey, Patrick, nice to meet you. I love watching you play. Even though I'm a Raider fan, I wish you were my quarterback. And then Patrick Mahomes won't put that in his brain. He won't have that as a mental note. He won't have to write that down. Now you just set your team up to get their ass kicked twice during the regular season. And in fact, I hate to break it to Raider fan, but Patrick Mahomes has had more success at your stadium than you have.
So, mark it down. This was the day that Patrick took it out on the Raiders yet again.
Yep.
Brett Veach was discussing, among other things, at his pre-draft news conference. Oh, I don't know, wide receivers.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh.
Surprisingly enough, he was asked about what he thought of the wide receiver class.
Oh, I'm surprised somebody brought that up.
I wonder why.
It's one of the deeper classes. I think the good thing about the wide receiver position, this is typically every year, is they provide depth really 1 through 5, and there's always pockets of players. I think there's a large group of receivers in the first 50 picks, I think, that we have great grades on. And then I think there's another pocket right behind that. I think that is a positive. I think, you know, corner, there's some depth, you know, middle to later on in the draft. O-lineman, as I mentioned in the opener, it's really good early. And so there'll be a late run on those guys, but it tails off a little bit. I think it's a better defensive line class than we've seen in the past. I think there's some good mid-round depth there. Linebacker, running back's probably a little lighter than years past. So I think O-line, receivers, corners are good hot spots throughout the draft, and that's a good thing because we can use one of each of those.
I like that. We could use a offensive lineman, a receiver, or a corner. Looks like there's a bunch of those, so we're cool.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, we could use one of those. So maybe those are the three positions that the Chiefs are going to be targeting on draft night for us, right? You can watch that at the landing.
Or they're going to take linebacker and running back, which are the lighter the lesser numbers in the draft.
Mm-hmm. No. But do they need a linebacker? They need a guy, probably, you know, another Drew Tranquil type of player that you never heard of, as you mentioned earlier, just for depth.
I don't know.
I thought you were.
What?
I thought you just dropped the S bomb. That's all.
Chenault.
You said Chen. I was like, oh my God.
I don't know. Chenault.
It was slow motion, Dana, Josh, what that was for me. I'm like, oh my God, Josh just dropped the S-bomb.
They have another linebacker. They're good at linebacker.
They're good at linebacker? Yeah, all right. Yeah. I think they always like some depth.
They're probably good at running back too. You can find an undrafted guy you want to bring in and try out.
That's where you're going to go with the running back position. You'll probably find somebody late in the draft or an undrafted free agent and go there. I'm not too worried about those positions. So hopefully, you know, they get somebody that they love at number 32. If not, they'll take somebody that they really like.
So he says depth 1 to 5.
Right. So the top 5 wide receivers, is that
after five. Can you get 5 where you're at 32? No,
absolutely not.
So are you doing something different there?
But is that next pocket more of second round, third round type guys where you're not going to draft at number 32, right? That's the thing. You don't want to waste that pick at number 32.
A large group in the first 50 picks.
Right.
Well, that doesn't mean you don't go from 64 to 52 to find that guy.
Right.
Or whatever,
to trade up maybe later on in the draft. Yeah. We'll see.
So again, a lot of smoke this time of the year, but you kind of just,
just ride it out,
just read some of the thoughts and see if we can kind of piece things together. But deep class at wide receiver, but can they move to get their guy too?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is a big, big question.
And again, they have guys that they covet versus guys that we covet, guys that they've liked, guys that they've been following, guys that they think fit their system. And maybe if that guy isn't there, then they pass on that guy too. Like, we don't know who falls where on their board and on their order. And again, unless you're going to trade up to 4, which is a possibility, according to Adam Schefter right now, unless you're going to trade up to 4, you're probably picking somebody that is a second round product.
Arizona's open
for business.
There
baby.
You go. Let's keep Marvin Harrison hope alive.
Right.
Biggest need might not be at 32. We'll discuss next. Back in on a Monday, brought to you by Raider Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RainerKC.com.
Some news from Adam Schefter this morning.
This is the week. Again, make sure it's the real one.
It's nothing really like huge, but it's just Howie Roseman has reportedly been reaching out to other NFL teams regarding a potential move up in the first round of the drafts. Mm. Teams are under the impression that Roseman is targeting a cornerback, and I bring that up because that's kind of a position of need for us here in Kansas City. I think it's one of the three needs. I don't think there's a glaring need for us. I don't think there's anything that I look at and go, oh my God, we have to have this, otherwise we can't play a football game. But I think cornerback, in my opinion, is one of the three needs to go along with wide receiver and offensive tackle. So if the Eagles are trying to trade up to get a cornerback and they get ahead of the Chiefs, which obviously they are right now, but they move up and get a cornerback ahead of the Chiefs, that's one less first round type of cornerback that could potentially be there at number 32. And how does that shake out the rest of that cornerback position? And at 32, is it worth drafting a cornerback if Philadelphia trades up to snag a cornerback that may be falling towards you at number 32? So I think it's something to definitely keep an eye on.
This comes from the 33rd team, who I like. I like their photo of this one.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, the post is fine, but the photo is great because it's got a confused looking Jim Harbaugh. He just looks like, again, confused old man at a microphone.
I'm trying to think of who it reminds me of that looks confused like that all the time.
He looks more, I don't know why, because it doesn't, with every passing day, he looks more and more like Grandpa Simpson to me. I don't know what
Grandpa
it is.
Simpson?
Yeah, yeah. I see him and I think of Grandpa Simpson. I don't know why.
I think he looks like more like Mr. Magoo than he does Grandpa Simpson.
But I feel like it's just he starts muttering nonsense like JJ McCarthy's so good.
Or Andy Capp. Remember Andy Capp and those hot fries?
Sure.
When was the last time you had hot fries?
I don't know. So anyway, their tweet was the biggest needs for AFC West teams. Mm-hmm. And again, a nice confused look of Jim Harbaugh, which is just a great photo. And so for the Chiefs, it lists left tackle, wide receiver, corner as the biggest needs.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
That doesn't mean you need to overtly, I have to address these.
No.
Those just happen to be their biggest needs.
As Sean Barber just texted us on the group chat, the former current Major League Baseball umpire, former linebacker for the Chiefs, friend of the show.
The other one was S-E-A-N, Sean. So it must have been different.
Well, maybe he goes by a different spelling when he umpires.
I know our Barber's strike zone I like.
Yeah, I do like our strike zone. For him. Yeah. But anyway, he texted us. He goes, the biggest mistakes happen is when teams feel that they need to fill a need in the draft. And he's absolutely right about that. I mean, we have seen that before where teams go into a draft saying, I've got to fill this need. And then they end up reaching and taking a player that isn't good enough because they feel like they have a need to fill. And then they're not back next year for the next draft because the team falls apart and they're out of a job. So you can't go out there and ever, in my opinion, unless you have that number one overall pick, number one, you can go out there and truly draft whoever the hell you want, take the player that you need the most, whatever the case may be. If you go into that draft and start drafting based on we need to do this, then you're failing before you even make that pick. And so I'm glad the Chiefs are never in that mindset.
So, I mean, left tackle remains a question mark. We know Andy Reid kind of mentioned it, like Wanya Morris, they sent him out with go work on some stuff. You got a nice start. Brett Veach kind of followed that up on Friday and said, yeah, our goal is to provide some competition at that position, blah, blah, blah. I'm hopeful that, you know, it's Wanya Morris. But
sure,
they didn't hand him the keys. I'm good with that. Like, they saw something that says we're not just doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay. We kind of know a little bit better where they stand. Wide receiver, I think there's a long-term need. And corner, again, maybe you're not drafting a starting corner. Maybe you're elevating a corner and finding the next guy behind. You know, it could be more of a depth pick.
Sure,
I don't know. Depending on where they go. So, and then can you address those things at starting at 32, or address one of those positions at 32? Remains to be seen.
Right. Probably. What if the Chiefs just say we're taking three players and there's nothing you can do about it?
Yeah. I mean, if it's not, would I be surprised if it's not offensive line, wide receiver, or corner at 32? Yeah, it would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't also have to be. So then 33rd team went on with their mock draft of the Chiefs. They went offensive line in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
BYU tackle. I think they went two offensive linemen, two defensive linemen.
Yeah. They got a wide receiver.
And then I love their round 7 pick because it's Blake Watson.
Yeah, Watson. Yeah.
A running back.
Watson. Yeah.
A running back out of Memphis. Uh-huh. So, but I saw their draft and I went, okay, I don't know most of these names.
Well,
okay,
of course, you're not going to. Yeah.
And it's not very exciting, but it could turn out to be really good.
Right.
Like that very well could be what the Chiefs draft is. That they draft again, have a nice quality draft. We haven't heard of anybody. We go back and we look at the draft that brought us Williams and Watson and Pacheco and Leo Chenal.
Right.
And Brian Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know anything about those people. Think about that draft, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
2022.
Okay.
Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis.
Yeah, pretty damn good.
So they perform so much so that you're down on Sky Moore.
Right.
Okay. Brian Cook, Leo Chenal, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, Isaiah
Watson,
Pacheco.
Yes!
All people who have had a major contribution on this team.
And Nazi Johnson, who might this year.
Right.
I didn't know any of those guys before they were picked by
nope.
the Chiefs. Okay, I don't follow up that deeply. Did that draft turn out all right?
Turned out great.
It could very much be like this 33rd team driver. I don't know the names, but I just look at the positions and go, "Yeah, you guys might nail it. You're the ones that are in charge of doing this. Like, you might go ahead and do that." It doesn't have a lot of wow factor to it. You know, Jermaine Burton, wide receiver, Alabama, probably isn't going to go, "Wow, give me that in the second round."
But did Rashee Rice wow you in the second round last year?
No.
That has become kind of their sweet spot, though, Josh, when you think about wide receivers that they've drafted.
Hot spot.
But hot spot, sweet spot, a little sweet and hot, kind of a mixture. You get that kick from the hop, but also the sweetness to kind of blend it together. That's been their area. You know, when you look at what they've done, they've gone wide receiver with Sky Moore in the second round. They've gone wide receiver with Rashee Rice in the second round. They've gone wide receiver with Mecole Hardman in the second round. That seems to be their hot zone for wide receivers, where they can get a wide receiver who is good, may not be great, but you've got Patrick Mahomes to take a good wide receiver and accentuate what he does well, and he goes out and puts up 1,000 yards. Now, I know Rashee Rice, there's so many questions surrounding him and what's going to happen. You know, with Rashee Rice, expect him to miss a handful of games this year. I would imagine he's probably going to miss a few games this year, you know, by what the league decides to do. But you also understand that he will be back, and so you will have Rashee Rice at some point in the season. You will have Sky Moore. You will have Kadarius Toney, as much as nobody wants to talk about him. You will have Justin Watson back on this team. So you've got some wide receivers. Yeah, you'd love to have that phenomenal guy, but if you can't get that phenomenal guy by trading up to number 4, or trading up to number 5, or however you want to do it, then maybe you look at the second round and say, we've had success in the second round with wide receivers. Now, has it been overwhelming success that everybody wants to latch on and talk about, oh my God, this guy is so good? No, obviously not, but it's been good enough where Patrick Mahomes can take the talent that he's given and make those guys better as well. And so I hate to continue to be the wet blanket with this wide receiver thing, though, Josh. They're relying a lot on the quarterback to make those guys better, and if they continue to win Super Bowls, it's going to be harder and harder and harder to get that true superstar at wide receiver, which is fine. If they keep winning Super Bowls, who the hell cares who's right. playing
you
at this point in time?
You keep doing you. So yeah, I want the wow, I want the sizzle. I love always do. But if they just nail a draft and there's no wow.
The only
Monday,
wow is Lombardi there standing with the Super Bowl trophy every year.
If there's
no
wow next Monday, I'll be like, okay, let's find out where this draft is.
Yeah, let's go.
I can't say that they haven't done a really good job. So
right.
I'm putting a lot of trust in them. Go get it. You've done all right.
What about Tip Reeman of the Illinois Fighting Illini?
I would say
like
no
that
based on the school.
But his name is Tip.
Yeah, Tip. Is it Tip Reeman? Tip Reiman?
Reiman or Reeman, yeah.
I don't know.
We had way too many tips out of the wide receiver core last year.
Yeah, it's
really
a fair point.
It's probably
teams.
A bad name.
Yeah, very good.
But Tip is a sure-handed receiver that runs seam routes and whatever.
Do they call him Tip because
right,
he tips the ball
look.
Up in
let
the air
me,
a lot?
Me, what is how do you spell his last name?
Reiman.
And then I need to find my Lance Zierlein. You know, I love my Lance Zierlein reports on him. So let's
see. But they also got Logan Lee from Iowa, defensive tackle in the 5th round. Blake Watson, as you mentioned. McKinley Jackson, defensive tackle from Texas A&M. Mason with 2 A's. Smith, I guess he missed his calling at baseball. He's a defensive tackle for LSU. Jermaine Burton, wide receiver in the 2nd round. And then in the 1st round, they have offensive tackle Kingsley Sua Mat-a-i-a.
I think you're leaving out at least one portion of that name.
Okay,
I don't know. There's a lot. There was
S-U-A-M.
A lot. Yeah.
Sua.
It feels like there's a lot of syllables there.
Yeah. Sua Mataia. I'm going to go with that. Sua Mataia.
I like that.
Kingsley Sua Mataia, the offensive tackle from
that.
BYU.
Let's do that. Tip Ryman.
Doesn't he own a liquor store?
His prospect grade is 6.10, 6'10".
Oh, boy.
Strengths.
All right, here we go.
Why not? This is from Lance Zierlein, NFL.com. Mm-hmm. Outstanding size and lean mass for an inline blocker. So he's an inline blocker. 6'5", 271.
We can move on.
You don't want a blocking tight end?
I'm not interested.
Possesses adequate length and huge hands.
You know what they say about huge hands, right? You got to get those big isotoners.
Lays into defenders in space with meaningful pop.
I don't care.
And big target for quick sink routes against zone. Weaknesses. Heavy-legged into his routes and breaks. I don't want that.
You don't want a heavy-legged individual.
Needs to block with tighter hands in the run game.
Well, of course. Who doesn't?
And lacks upper body agility to open and catch throws behind him.
So he can't run routes and he can't catch?
Yeah, sounds like a blocker to me.
Sounds like I'm passing on that gentleman.
So Tip Ryman.
Right. Cross him off.
Doesn't have the glowing reviews there that Lance Zierlein usually delivers to us.
Nope.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF, HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station. I always love their write-ups. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by Raider Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. I've had a lot of faith in this team. I've had a lot of faith in their quarterback. This team's now going 5-12.
Yeah.
They're my 5-12 pick. The Seattle Seahawks will be my pick to go 5-12 this year. Is that okay, Bob? When you sent this.
Oh, I mean, I don't know that this gentleman sees year two.
So 5-12, I'll go with.
Okay.
And that might be pushing it.
Yeah.
According to the Seattle Times,
new
Seahawks coach Mike McDonald. Again, I love his name.
Right.
I love his team. Michael McDonald.
He keeps you running. Yeah, he keeps you running.
Brother of Ronald.
He'll be taken to the streets and the unemployment line with this.
He'll be going to China Grove real fast with the Doobie Brothers.
Yes,
I tell you.
So
where are the rest of the Doobie Brothers at, man?
Yeah. New Seahawks coach Mike McDonald has removed photos of past Seattle teams, including Pete Carroll holding the Super Bowl trophy, Marshawn Lynch's legendary run, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. When I was in St. Louis, there was a gentleman who took over the football program, and I confirmed this yesterday with our old friend Dave Green, Josh. There was a gentleman who took over as head coach of the Los Angeles or the St. Louis Rams at the time and took down all the history. His name, Steve Spagnuolo. How did that work out for Spags in St. Louis? Why do people feel the need to take down history?
Don't erase the past.
What are we doing here? Right? Like, to me, in sports, teams that aren't currently on top but have had some success, especially recent success, you have to embrace that. You don't erase history. You learn from history, okay? Stop taking down pictures in the building that show the greatness that occurred there. You're not wiping the slate clean. You should be bringing these pictures in.
That's where we want to get back to.
And we want to get back to that.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, the Chiefs did that, I think, when Andy Reid came in. They put up all the old banners in the practice facility of all the times that the organization was in the playoffs. And, you know, this dates back now a very long time. But when Dayton Moore took over with the Royals like 18 years ago, Josh, he put up more pictures of the past to let the current crop know, hey, there has been some success here. This hasn't been a dumpster fire forever. There were years where this organization was pretty good. And I hate when a new coach comes in and tries to rewrite history and tries to rewrite the past and takes down pictures of the great moments that occurred with that organization. You should put more of those great moments up. You should celebrate those great moments and say, guys, this is what we want to get to. Pete Carroll laid the groundwork for us. He was the greatest coach in franchise history, went to back-to-back Super Bowls. This is where we strive to be. This is the expectation of this organization. Instead, he takes it down, and what did he do? Put up a picture of himself and say, hey, here I am, the new head coach that nobody knows, and I was better with the Doobie Brothers than I am on the sidelines. Like, I'll be surprised if this guy sees year three. You have got to find a way to embrace history. College coaches have done this before.
Doesn't work there
and that's
either.
Stupid.
Doesn't work there either, Nebraska.
What?
Nebraska. No. They did that, right?
Yeah.
How'd that work out for Bill Callahan?
Right.
He took down all the photos of Tom Osborne.
Right. Stupid.
It's dumb.
Yeah, you don't do that kind
you
of
embrace,
stuff.
You embrace those people.
You let people know this is the expectation.
We get it. You're trying to set your own history.
Yeah, but that's foolish.
And what have you, but yeah. Not by removing things.
Yeah, it's so. Like, tell me you're a loser without telling me you're a loser. Yeah. Let's take down all the pictures of winning.
So, Michael McDonald.
First coach fired?
Kind of get gun of it. First coach fired out of this class?
Yeah. Well, I don't know the rest of them, but yeah. Well, you got the Callahan guy in Tennessee. You got Raheem Morris in Atlanta.
You can't fire Raheem Morris anytime soon.
No.
Picked
no,
him
no.
over Belichick.
Picked him over Belichick. You got to ride
he's
that
got,
out.
He's got,
yeah. You got Legger Duzabal coaching down in Carolina or whoever's coaching the Panthers now.
Ooh, excuse me?
There was a guy named Legger Duzabal. I think he played for the Rams or the Chiefs. Nathan, look him up. Legger, L-E-G-A-R, Duzabal.
Wow. Wow.
You think I'm making that one up?
Let's see. Gerard Mayo, Brian Callahan, Dan Quinn.
Quinn did go to a Super Bowl.
Raheem Morris. Bobby Carnival or whatever went to Carolina.
Never heard of him.
Dave
did you
Canales.
Just look that up?
Dave Canales.
Oh.
That was close. Bobby Carnival,
I had
Dave Canales.
Duzabal.
That was close. Dave Canales. No, I'm going Michael McDonald, I think.
Yeah.
He's
your early
can I,
out.
Can I get one of those? Is there one of those?
First coach
of these,
fired?
First of these coach, first of this group, this hiring cycle's coaches to be fired?
Yeah.
Long-term bet?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Michael McDonald right
I
now.
I will, too. I think he's the favorite right now. Has to be the favorite right now. Yeah, because you can't fire Raheem Morris after the whole story came out about Belichick.
I think he's good.
That guy's got 5 years.
Okay. He's good.
So, yeah, I don't know who the Carolina coach is. What did you say?
Dave Canales.
Bobby Carnivore?
He was with Tampa.
Oh.
Right?
Well, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
I'm saying that with a question mark because I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
Ask me in 6 months who the coach of the Carolina Panthers is.
Yeah.
Somebody else knew.
I might be back to Bobby Carnival.
Yeah, which is, I think, better than Bobby Carnivore.
So that may be the case.
God, there are so many just random nobodies that coach in this league now. Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah.
And they'll all make major draft mistakes. They'll all do stupid things like taking down pictures of the past. Like, how stupid can you be? Yeah. Let's take what we've done and accomplished and erase it.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody know we used to be good. Why? Because I'm the new guy here. Okay. That gets the eye roll. That's what players don't buy into, right? I keep going back to that boss that we had years and years ago who came in from Milwaukee and took off his Brewers jersey and put on this Royals jersey in this meeting and said, I'm on your team now. And we went, oh, my God. I think I switched radio stations a week later.
Yeah, because I joined like a week after that.
After that, yeah.
And then... there was a follow-up speech that was just as eye-rolling. We would have had the exact same experience had we known each other then.
Yeah.
To go, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, right
this
away,
guy,
you can tell, right?
Yeah,
you can tell when you have somebody that is a cheese ball walking in that has no clue. I am on your team now. And we're like, oh. And I was only in my early 20s, and I'm like, this guy's a jackass.
I think the follow-up was he had a baton with 6'10 on it, and wanted everybody to pass the baton.
Oh, I believe
was the follow-up. The follow-up meeting.
What did this guy have? This guy have management for dummies?
Yeah.
This book.
Somewhere thing.
Ooh, pass a baton. That'll get him.
He took down all the pictures of 61 country. Didn't want you to buy into their history.
Right. No, do not buy this. But yeah, when he took the jersey off, oh my God.
No. Bad. What's going on with Kelly Stafford? Who? She doesn't want Taylor.
She's tired of Taylor Swift.
Uh-oh.
Kelly Stafford, the wife of Matthew Stafford, is tired of hearing about Taylor Swift. And so she was talking on a podcast about winning another Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff before they retire. And I don't know that that's going to necessarily happen. But she says about Kelly Stafford, she is not up for another NFL season featuring Travis and Taylor.
Oh.
I don't know if I want to see another 4 months of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce coverage, she said on her Morning After podcast. Who asked you?
Well, I don't know. Did they take questions on this podcast?
I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. Who asked?
Listeners?
Who's asking your thoughts on Travis and Taylor? Like, why are you offering those up? Are you jealous? As somebody put on Twitter yesterday, formerly X, they said at least Taylor and Travis wouldn't watch somebody fall off a stage and not help them. When that woman fell off the stage and the staffer just watched her fall off the stage.
Yep.
Again, I'm going to go back to this whole Taylor Swift thing. The same people that believe the Taylor-Travis relationship is taking away from football also are flat earthers. And I will say this, it has done nothing but accentuate the game. And now that we've had the offseason to really think about like their relationship and whatnot, everybody benefited from that relationship. The NFL benefited in a big way, and Taylor Swift benefited in a big way. She got people like us listening to Taylor Swift albums and listening to the music the day it comes out. And none of us were doing that before. So I think it's been a relationship that is cute to watch. It's fun to watch. It's neat. I love watching their relationship. But it's also a relationship where everybody involved has benefited from it in some way, shape, or form. I still can't understand, other than flat-out jealousy, why people are against what's going on in this beautiful couple's relationship. Like, butt the F out.
Josh Brunier, a Royals insider, will drop by at 8:30 for his weekly visit. And Brett Veach is working the phones over the next 2 days.
He's calling right now. Let me grab this.
He's making sure they all work. We'll get to that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.